This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I am your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Hi. We have a great show for you today. Today we are going to be talking about asthma. And we've got, we've gotten several requests for what can you do about it for asthma?
Well, because most people think that there is nothing that you can do, really.
Right.
I mean, that's something.
Yeah, the question is there something I can, I have asthma, is there something I can do?
Or a lot of times, well, I just have asthma. There's nothing you can do for asthma.
Right.
I mean, because people don't think that there is anything that can change it. I mean, if you have asthma, then you have to go on inhalers. I mean, then you have to go the medical route.
Right.
But then I think we also get people who are coming in and saying, why do you think so many people are being diagnosed with asthma?
Yeah, or
many more than, why is it increasing?
Or they, come in and say things like, well, so I've had asthma for X number of years, 20, 30 years, and I've had every inhaler known to, to man right now, and they're not working nearly as well as they used to. Is there, what do I do? And that's where we, I love those types of cases, those types of questions, because there are a lot of things that can be done. Asthma has triggers. Some people know their triggers. Some people don't know their triggers. And then there are things that you can do to reduce those. And that's the sort of stuff that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about things that are known triggers. We're going to talk about maybe some lesser known triggers, some things that happen inside the body as a result of things that you may not even consider if you're suffering with asthma. And then we're going to talk about some things that you can do to help you deal with asthma, lessen your symptoms, and potentially not have to use an inhaler. It happens from time to time.
Right. And I think that this is really important it's mixed when we get questions like this. We have some people who are thrilled to find out that, there is actually something that can be done, because a lot of people, like we said, are under the impression that, asthma is one of those things that you actually can't do anything other than the conventional medical route. We also have a lot of people that I feel are a little disappointed to find out that, you might have some personal responsibility here.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually...
You mean I can't eat all the crap that I've been eating?
Yeah, because we have people that say, like I said, they'll come in and say, I have asthma, so there's nothing that can really be done. Actually, there is something that can be done. And they're like,
I can't do that.
I just switched to another inhaler, so I'm going to see if that works. Or, I mean, they don't actually want...
Right.
They want the answer to be... There's nothing that you can do.
Right.
But
you have to suffer with this unsufferable thing, and it's not
right.
always
And you
that's
have
not
no responsibility
true.
In it. There's
yeah.
nothing that you can do to make it better or worse. You just get to walk around with your pity party and say, I have asthma and it sucks.
Pity party. That's true.
Sorry. So I'm on a roll today.
Yeah, she is. She's fired up. So asthma is actually, it's very common in the United States. There's 25 million Americans that are dealing with asthma, with the vast majority of those people being children and teens. And this is what I like about this is
I have a question, because you say children and teens. Do people grow out of it?
Some people do grow out of it. Some people have asthma as a child and then they just grow up and it goes away on its own. And a lot of it has to do with... You really want to get down into it. It has to do with the fact that there, as a kid, your immune system isn't as fully developed. It takes a while to get your gut going. It takes a while to get, all these things, moving and operating at a optimal level in your system. And once your immune system comes back online, you don't have to deal with the asthma symptoms anymore. Some people have, things like exercise-induced asthma, and they know, I can exercise up to this level. If I go beyond that, I have asthma. And really, when you start talking about exercise-induced and other people that suffer longer with asthma, there's something that's triggering it in their system. And the key is identifying that trigger and not, a lot of times it's more than one trigger. You know, people will say, well, it's exercise induced. Well, yeah, it's exercise induced, but if you eliminate these other things that could be triggers, I bet you can exercise harder. Or if it's cold induced, like, okay, well, yeah, I understand it's cold induced, but you have all these other things that are you know, increasing your likelihood that cold is going to be the problem for you. There are other things that you can do. It's not just one thing usually that is the trigger for asthma. It can be a multitude of things. And identifying all of them is what really reduces your risk of dealing with, you know, asthma attacks and things like that.
And that's really where we come in general, right?
Because right.
if it's one cause, conventional medicine can usually
can do a pretty
that.
Good job. Yeah.
Yeah. It's when thing it's the issues and most, you know, most conditions fall into this category. It's the conditions that have a multiple, you know, that have multiple potential triggers where conventional medicine's like, oh, there isn't one answer. So what do we do?
Right.
And, well, we give you a medication.
Right. Exactly. So, like I said, it affects mostly children and teens. And for our clinic, that's actually a demographic that we take care of because the people that are bringing them are their mothers, often their mothers, sometimes fathers, but often it's their mothers who have just gotten sick of their child being sick. And they're fed up with the fact that the doctors aren't answering their questions. They ask things like, you know, could foods be triggering this? And the doctor's like, well, no. Is it nutritional status? No. Nutrition doesn't affect your, you know, asthma levels. Or is it, you know, chemical sensitivities or other sensitivities, other issues? And they just get blown off and told, no, that has nothing to do with your child's asthma, when they know better. The mom may have already been in our office and seen a significant improvement in her health. And then she's like, okay, well, what can you do for my kid that has asthma? I'm like, okay, well, let's investigate. Let's see this kid and talk to about all the things that can be done to figure out what the triggers are. And those are the patients that we see. They've seen benefit from our approach, and they want that benefit for their children.
And I think that we've said this before, but you know, really, some of our best patients are mothers of children, because when you, yeah. It's one thing, you know, things that maybe they wouldn't do for their own health, they will do for their kids.
Right.
And, you know, when they see their child suffering, they're like, all right, let's figure it out. And yeah. So, and they will follow it. And so that's great. And, you know, and you mentioned that about there being all of these different triggers. We see the same thing. I know we've talked about this before with like autism, ADHD,
yep.
You know, I mean, it's the same things where, you know, people may know, okay, that they could be doing better health-wise, but when they see their child suffering, they're like, okay, you know, now's the time to actually make the changes.
Right, or they see their child suffer for longer than a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, having a cold, having a sniffle, okay, one thing, that you're going to have that. But when it's years, with no end, and you're going to have this inhaler for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
And anyone who has ever suffered from chronic pain can totally relate to that, because it's one thing to say, you know, to even go through a surgery and say, okay, well, you know, I'm in a lot of pain right now. It is another to wake up day after day and know that there is no end in sight and is never going to end.
Correct.
It's a completely different situation.
It creates a different mindset.
Yep.
So symptoms of asthma, I want to go back just a second. So we've got 25 million people with Americans with asthma. It's basically 1 in 12 people that have asthma. That's a lot of people. It's about 8% of the U.S. population. It's pretty crazy how many people actually have asthma. And the symptoms of asthma, if you're not a sufferer of asthma, and you may not understand or know what the symptoms are, things like coughing and wheezing and being short of breath, those are big ones. And if you've ever witnessed an asthma attack, it's really tough and it's really scary, because people are having, you know, they're struggling to breathe. And anytime you're struggling to breathe, it brings on a sense of panic because, I mean, it's just kind of a little scary. And for someone who's never had an asthma attack before and they finally have their first one, it can be really scary because they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to expect. And so those are types of things that happen. But things that typically trigger asthma are things like food allergies, like true anaphylactic allergies can trigger it. Getting exposed to some sort of irritant, whether that's a seasonal allergy or a chemical irritant. The chemicals are – we see that a lot. People, adults especially, will complain of, oh, I get asthma, but it's when I'm around someone that has a really strong perfume, or if I'm around, you know, industrial cleaners or things like bleach can trigger asthma attacks. So that's the sort of stuff. So then we start switching into what makes someone susceptible to asthma. Well, if we're looking at that, big contributing factors, one of the biggest is poor diet. Number two is...
Unfortunately, I know people are probably really sick of us talking about
it. Oh, yeah, they're talking about those two and their diet.
Always has to be. Food always is tied into it.
But food, I mean, we are what we eat. Well, and you are what you absorb from what you eat. But poor diet, being overweight or obese, having a low immune function, not spending any time outside, and a family history of asthma. So if your mother or father had asthma, you're more likely to have asthma as well. But the asthma, it's affecting more and more people, but more and more people are overweight and obese. I mean, we've talked on this show ad nauseum. Almost every single show, we bring up the fact that 66% of the population in the United States is either overweight or obese. It's a chronic health problem that has lots and lots and lots of issues that come along with it. Not just things like diabetes, but things like asthma. You could develop asthma because you're overweight or obese. So it's really important that we pay attention to this sort of stuff. And, you know, with asthma happening and being on the rise, they're looking at how asthma may develop. They're looking at things that research is looking into things like antibiotics, how vaccines may affect asthma development. It's kind of this thing called hygiene hypothesis, if you really want to get into it. It's not really been proven, but they believe that asthma may be affecting more people than before because of the widespread use of medications that really alter our immune function. This is really what it boils down to. But, all right, we got to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the most common symptoms that people get with asthma. And then we're going to get into, later on in the show, we're going to get into some of the natural treatments for asthma symptoms. You're listening to Wellness 101.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. TJ. This is Aaron, and today we're talking about Wellness 101. I actually read my sheet. we're talking about Wellness 101, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about asthma on Wellness 101 today. And in the first segment, we were talking about the rate of asthma in the country and how so many people have it, and things like, you know, diet and obesity are contributing factors to asthma. But one of the things we want to talk about, we touched briefly on symptoms of asthma, like things like shortness of breath and stuff like that. I want to get into a lot more symptoms of asthma for people who don't know what symptoms of asthma may be, and then we're going to talk about what asthma actually is, like what is the physiology that's going on inside the body to cause someone to have asthma, and so. With the symptoms, so we talked about coughing and wheezing and shortness of breath, but other things that can be symptoms of asthma is running out of air when you're trying to speak or inhale. So if you ever hear someone talking and they're going like this and they just, and then they try to take a deep breath to catch their breath, they may have asthma. They may not be able to have their lung capacity may be affected to where they can't actually finish their sentence without running out of air like this and really trying to speed things up.
I've never heard of that happen to anybody. Does that happen?
Actually, yeah, it does. When someone has really severe asthma, for sure, especially if they're just at the very beginning of an attack, you'll definitely see that. But you'll see that in people that just average, ordinary, sitting in a chair, going through consultations. We'll notice that they're running out of breath when they're trying to give a sentence, or they'll talk and then big breath
and
in.
I'm laughing not at the asthma attack, but at your
my imitation
right.
of it. Yeah, that's what I don't have asthma, so I did my best. She looked at me funny, ladies and gentlemen. She's like,
it was
oh my
dramatic God. In here for a second.
She thought I was having an attack. So that's one of the big ones. Having complaints of pressure or tightness in the chest, there are a lot of different things that can cause pressure or tightness in the chest, one of them being like a heart attack or things like that. It's a common symptom, but it can also be a symptom of asthma. Having signs of poor circulation. So someone who may have blue or purple colored toes or fingers, or they have changes in the color of their skin, especially toward their hands and their feet, that's a sign of someone having asthma. If someone has a history of feeling faint, dizzy, lightheaded, also asthma related. Another one would be lacking coordination and balance, or they have trouble seeing normally during an asthma attack. So it can affect their vision when dealing with an asthma attack. And so we talked about briefly about how, you know, during an asthma attack, someone can be very panicked or be very over anxious because of their shortness of breath. But then there's these allergies or these symptoms that are like allergies, rather, that, you know, people may get watery eyes. Their eyes may be red. They may get an itchy eyes or itchy throat. They could get a runny nose while dealing with an asthma attack. There are just a lot of things that can go on.
So how do you know if it's asthma as compared to like allergies?
That's a great question. So typically if they're old enough, you know, sometimes you're dealing with really young children and you have to differentiate. I would refer them for allergy testing. To rule out allergies, because a true allergy could be a trigger for their asthma. But if it happens all the time, you know, and it's really affecting their breath, I mean, you gather that information throughout a history that it's, you know, someone has an allergy. Like I have an allergy to mold. And if I get exposed to mold, my eyes itch, you've seen it, my eyes itch, they get watery, but I don't get short of breath.
Yeah. Every time you buy flowers and then 2 days later, you're just like, not hit those
flowers.
2 days later. It's like 2 hours later. It's just like the flowers will be in the garage.
I try to be nice. Yeah. And then I set the flowers in the garage.
He gets really angry at them. I'm like, just quit buying flowers.
You can look at them when you go to your car. Yep.
Or they'll be on the back porch or something.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be outside. That's true. I know what my allergies are, and mold and certain flowers are them. So that's just how it is. So those are common symptoms of asthma. So what exactly is asthma? Really, what it truly is just a narrowing of your airways. So if you can think of, you know, your airways are just tubes that are transmitting air back and forth. And they just get smaller. So, you know, let's use an example that you may know. So straws, right? It's one thing to breathe through a regular size straw. It's a completely different thing to breathe through one of those little coffee stir straws, you know, those little red stir straws. So it's much easier to breathe through a bigger straw than it is a smaller straw. That's what asthma is. You're breathing through a smaller straw. And so
that was a good analogy.
Hey, thank you. Are you saying that my other analogies
aren't
that good?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It just, it's, you know, it's clear you do this for a living.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I get lots of analogies. So asthma is a type of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. It's a type of COPD. The types of COPD, just so you know, when TV commercials say, oh, I have chronic bronchitis. Okay, well, that's a COPD. You can have COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. You can have chronic asthma, which is a form of COPD. And you can have chronic bronchitis, which is also a form of COPD. They're all three the same. The mechanism of injury is exactly the same.
Is that different from emphysema?
Emphysema is a obstructive pulmonary disease. No. Emphysema is another one. Good job.
Thanks.
That's a fourth one.
Yeah. That's why you keep me around.
Yeah, you. So it's that happens.
And
as opposed
people,
to restrictive diseases, there are restrictive diseases too.
I know
too.
People, yeah, get really confused when you've talked about this before because they're like, I don't have, you know, I don't have COPD, I have emphysema, or I don't have COPD, I have
asthma.
And so
it's all the same
because in conventional medicine they don't really translate this very well. It's
right.
You know. If you have COPD, you have COPD. It's a label. That's what you have. And,
yeah, and you take these medications.
Right.
If you have asthma,
you take
these medications. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, basically, it's just, in general, it's just a narrowing of the airways. And so, research shows that if someone has, if an adult has asthma, about half of them experience some sort of significant attack at least one time a year. So one, and really, when you really dig into it, they're not very good at identifying what the triggers are. They will list several different things, but a lot of people don't actually know what their triggers are if it's not cold or exercise. That's just, it's just, it's kind of comical when you get into it.
Can you have a trigger that doesn't trigger it immediately?
What are you asking?
I mean, are most triggers for asthma something that happens immediately before an asthma attack?
That's a great question. Yes, but now I see what you're saying. Is there something else that can be smaller?
Is it something like a food sensitivity where you could have, you know, an attack 48 hours later?
Could. And that's where conventional medicine.
Then how would you ever know?
That's exactly right. That's where conventional medicine has a really hard time with things, because if it's not something that's immediate right now, they're just like, oh, I don't know, you have asthma. And they just leave it alone, as opposed to saying, well, there's these other triggers. So if you have a scale of 0 to 100 and your asthma is triggered once you reach 75, you may go out in the cold, freezing cold, and that puts you at 80. And so you have an asthma attack. But you could also have food sensitivities to, you know, 10 different foods, and you eat those different foods over the course of a couple days, and each one gives you another 10. So it's 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10. Eventually, you hit 75, boom, you have an asthma attack. And you don't equate it to anything because you weren't outside, you weren't exercising, because let's face it, most of the country doesn't exercise. You weren't doing anything. And so they grasp at straws, literally, to try and figure out what triggered the asthma.
I guess if you had eaten something unusual right beforehand, you might say maybe it was that thing. But actually, you're saying it may be the culmination
of many different foods over the course of a couple days prior.
That's interesting. And I know this is certainly different than asthma, but the reason I asked this was just, you know, making the correlation between things that I've, you know, experienced in my own life. And I know I've talked about this on the show before. I suffered from chronic migraines for years. And I had gone to numerous doctors. I went to one who was supposed to be one of the top headache specialists in the country that finally said to me, this is genetic, you know, there must be some sort of genetic predisposition, put me on preventative. And then I had, you know, my emergency medication. And then I had like Vicodin when it was really bad. I had, you know, a number of different things, took a preventative every day. Then when finally I started getting into this functional medicine, and you know, we figured out that food sensitivities were actually triggering the migraines. Nobody ever looked at that. I mean, it seems like that's the same thing kind of with asthma. Like I thought, well, if you have migraines, you know, then you need to take a medication. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't function on a migraine.
Right.
But if you have a migraine, and it's the same thinking that goes into asthma. And I just, you know, it's the whole reason why we have this show,
right?
Is because, you know, why not find out what is actually causing it and triggering it and get rid of that?
Right.
And then you get rid of the medication.
Right.
And that's what we're here for.
That's what we're trying to do. That's our job. And on that note, we've got to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the risk factors for asthma, things that you may not even realize are potential risk factors, things that research are indicating that to me are very interesting, and it may give you an insight or a different perception or viewpoint to look at asthma as it relates to overall health and wellness and what can actually be causing that asthma. You're listening to Wellness 101. Coming now, follow my lead.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ, and today we are talking about asthma, and we've been talking about various aspects of asthma, kind of what it is and you know, who gets it. And the next couple segments, I want to talk about risk factors for asthma, and then we'll get into some of the natural treatments. But we'll also touch briefly on what conventional medicine does for treating asthma. And really, it's what conventional medicine does for treating the symptoms of asthma, not actually treating the root cause of asthma and figuring out what's going on. So risk factors for asthma. So this one is, I find this component extremely interesting because research is really taking a much harder look at one of the big, it's a very controversial topic. They're looking at antibiotics and vaccines, both. How basically the newer studies are suggesting that using vaccines and antibiotics has a negative impact on your immune system responses. And so that altered immune system response contributes to increased things like food allergies, increased food sensitivities, and asthma symptoms. And you said earlier, Aaron, you asked the question if some things like, you know, what people are eating could be triggering their asthma, you know, days after they ate it. Yes, absolutely. Especially if we're dealing with a food sensitivity, a delayed reaction to their, you know, the food that they're eating. I'm not talking about, you know, like a peanut allergy where you're eating a peanut and your head swells up. I'm talking about figuring out that you're sensitive to, you know, kale and ginger and broccoli, and that's what you eat a lot of. And those things triggering your asthma attacks, you know, 2-3 days after you consume a food. That's what we're talking about. But these antibiotics and vaccines, they can shift the activities of these very special component of your white blood cells called lymphocytes. And lymphocytes normally help protect the body from infections, actually specifically viral infections, by causing an inflammatory response. So once a vaccine and antibiotic is given, the lymphocytes begin releasing very specific chemicals that cause allergic reactions and cause the airways to constrict. So it's very interesting what's really truly going on. They're altering the immune system. And a lot of people are like, well, how is it that a vaccine does it? Well, vaccines have these chemicals in them called adjuvants. It's something to really make the immune system mad. And that's how most of them have to have these things to cause an immune reaction, to cause your immune system to actually function the way that they're wanting your immune system to function with by getting the vaccine. The problem is all these nasty side effects that come along with that, things like, you know, causing your lymphocytes to kick out of these chemicals that cause airway constriction, triggering asthma. That's what asthma is. It's a constriction of the airways. They're getting your airways are getting smaller. Another risk factor for asthma is spending a lot of time indoors. Basically, by staying inside, I mean, we know this. The kids just don't go outside and play very often. It's not like when I grew up. I grew up outside 90% of the time. The only time I was inside when I was growing up was when it was raining. And even then, we probably wanted to be outside. Today, it's not the case. In our little subdivision, I mean, it's a pretty good-sized subdivision. We don't see kids out very often. There's like 2 kids in our neighborhood that we see on a regular basis. And that's it.
Right. And the funny thing to me is that when people come over, they're always like, there are kids, all these kids out here. And we're just like, really? This is a lot? Because, I mean, nothing like when we were younger.
No.
I mean,
and trust us, the subdivision has like a annual party or two, and everybody comes out to this thing. There are tons of kids at this thing.
Yeah. And
nowhere close to what's out playing on a daily basis. They just don't get out. I mean, I think there are a lot of reasons for this, but that's a big thing. By staying inside, you increase your exposure to specific allergens or irritants that accumulate inside. Things like dust mite, mold, pet hair, other types of microbes that are found inside your house. And so you know, when you're not outside, when you're outside, you're not exposed to those things. And so spending more time
aren't there
indoors.
Allergens outside though?
There are, but you also have to be out in these things to. I mean, we don't
it's
have
building
to
building the immune system.
Yeah, we don't want to be, you know, trying to keep everything super sterile. That doesn't do anybody any good. That's part of why we have, you know, issues with the antimicrobial soaps and stuff like that. The overuse of those caused some bugs that are, you know, resistant to those things. So, I mean, that's just one of the things that get outside. It's, you know, get you some sunshine. Obesity, allergies, autoimmune disorders, basically any medical condition that affects the lungs and can cause low immunity. Sometimes kids that have infections as a child. You know, that's one of the questions we ask. How healthy were you as a kid? Do you ever have any infections? Did you take multiple rounds of antibiotics? Those are types of things that matter and can affect things like lung tissue. It just is. Then there's a genetic component. So asthma tends to run in families. It's not technically completely genetically acquired, but it happens to be in families. So patients who have asthma or parents who have asthma, patients of ours who have asthma, we have them get their children screened for asthma. But, you know, other people that, you know, if you're out there listening and you had asthma or have it as an adult or had it as a kid and you have children, get them checked. Because, I mean, there could be things that are triggering that could trigger that in your kids. And lastly is one that I don't feel gets talked about enough. And that's just flat out poor posture.
I agree. I think.
My gosh. People sit with their heads forward, hunched over. If you're all hunched over like that, you're basically wrinkling up your lungs and you can't get a full breath.
It doesn't just affect your lungs. I mean, we have people that come in and they have, pains. They have issues with digestion. Your body isn't going to function the way that it's supposed to if it's not positioned the way it's supposed to. Now, I mean, we really are huge advocates of chiropractic care, and that can help somewhat, but it can't undo you sitting hunched over for 12, 16 hours a day, whatever it is. I mean, it's just, it can only help so much. So it makes a huge difference. I mean, your body was meant to function when it's in its proper, alignment. And that makes a big difference.
Right. I mean, they're just not meant to be all hunched over like that. So paying attention to posture and doing, postural exercise is a good thing, in my opinion.
And exercise.
Yeah, get off the couch and move. Get outside. Get
some
sunshine.
And just really becoming aware of it makes a huge difference. I know with a lot of people that we have that have digestive issues, things that, what seems like acid reflux and dealing with those sorts of things. A lot of times, if it's not severe, just becoming aware of it and, after they eat, standing up, making sure that, you being conscious of the fact that they're not going to be sitting hunched over can make a huge difference and sometimes make those things go away.
Right. So I want to shift gears and I want to talk a little bit about conventional treatments. We got a couple minutes left in this segment, and that's all it's really going to take because there's not many conventional treatments for asthma. There are a whole bunch of medications, but they all fall in the same couple of classes.
And most of you who have had asthma have tried quite a few of
them. All of them, yeah. So,
and you'll a lot of times be given them for free. We get that all the time.
Yeah.
Like when a new one comes out, they're I don't even have to pay for this.
Right.
Well, you'll pay some way.
That's exactly right. So a lot of times doctors are going to prescribe, when someone's diagnosed with asthma, they're going to prescribe a bronchodilator. These things help control asthma attacks. They kind of prevent emergencies. And so that's one thing. A lot of times these things are referred to as rescue inhalers, and you'll hear that on like commercials for asthma medications. You'll hear, not to be used with the rescue inhaler. They're talking about a different type of asthma medication. Those are things that just, if you're having an attack, you get a quick hit off your inhaler, and it improves your ability to breathe. So bronchodilators is one. Another thing that they will use will be things like things to help control inflammation and constriction. They'll use things like albuterol. A lot of people are familiar with albuterol. Occasionally, a doctor will prescribe some sort of corticosteroid to help lower the swelling that's going on inside the blood vessels. But again, we're talking about treating the symptom. The symptom is your airways getting smaller, constricting. That's not the cause. That's not what caused your asthma. That's just the symptom of having an issue with your immune function and that causes your airways to constrict. But then there's also long-term treatments out there. These are, basically anti-IgE drugs is what they're called. They're injectables, and they're not suitable for a lot of people. There's not as many people using those things. And that's it. That's really all conventional medicine has. So when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the natural things that can be done to help control your asthma and or asthma symptoms. You're listening to Wellness 101.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. If you've missed today's show, we have, or if you're just tuning in, we have been talking about asthma, and we've been talking about it from all different aspects, what it is, what causes it, conventional medical treatments for it. And this last segment, we're going to spend some time talking about some natural treatments for asthma. And there are a few out there. A couple of them are common sense, and some of them are things that you may have not thought of. One of the just really big common sense ones is, and this is just experience, you would not believe the number of patients that come to us that are smokers that have asthma. That is a massive trigger for asthma. Just stop smoking, is one of the big pieces of that puzzle. Stop your exposure to smoke. If you have asthma, don't go into environments where there might be smoke. I know there's a big push and a lot of legislation out there trying to, make all, public venues smoke free or, things like that. And I get that. And part of this, I think that's a great thing. But just decreasing smoking, if you're a smoker, do whatever you can. Get the help that you need to eliminate smoking. Just stop. It's not just an issue for asthma, but it's going to contribute to heart disease and all kinds of things that go along with it. So now that we got that one common sense thing out of the way, another common sense one, if you are suffering with asthma, is to avoid the triggers that you know cause the asthma, right? That's a big piece of the puzzle. Most of you, if you have asthma, know, I can't do this because this triggers my asthma, or I can't do that because triggers my asthma. So going outside when it's really freezing cold, a lot of people in the St. Louis area, that's for those of you listening, not where we are in St. Louis, middle of Midwest, we go through all four seasons. So, it could easily be one day, it could be 60 degrees here, and the next day it's 20. That sudden change in temperature can be a trigger for someone who has asthma. Same way with the temperature going up, because we also have lots of humidity. High levels of humidity can be triggers for asthma too. And so just being conscious of those things and staying out of those types of environments is important. Or do things to protect yourself. Wear masks to help you not breathe in the super cold air. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the big ones. It's a lot of, temperature extremes and humidity. That's the big ones. And most people, like I said, that already have asthma, they know those are triggers for them. So those are two very common sense ones. Another common sense one is maintaining a healthy weight and exercise regimen. We've talked on this show a lot about how important it is to not be overweight, lose weight as best you can, get the help that you need. If you're having difficulty, there are reasons why you're not able to lose weight. We've had shows on this before. And exercising. You want to exercise, get out, get moving. There's nothing that we can recommend or do that's going to be of more benefit than just exercise. That's a very big piece of the puzzle. Obesity is linked to, increased risk of asthma. It's also linked to things like sleep apnea. All of these things can be helped if you just get out there and exercise. Another one is reducing exposure to irritants and indoor allergies. We talked earlier about get outside. We accumulate certain things indoors, like dust mites, chemical fumes from cleaners and things like that, other toxins that accumulate in our house. Installing things like good air filters or having some sort of air filtration device in your house can help that, but just try to get rid of them. Use greener cleaners. That's a nice rhyme. Greener cleaners. That's something too that can help. There are a lot of things that can be done as far as that goes. But then comes the personal responsibility treatment for asthma. This is one of the biggest things we've had the most success with, this one, improving your diet and removing allergen foods, not just allergens, not things that just, you know, cause you to, you know, your head swell up and just immediately trigger an asthma attack. I'm talking about delayed food sensitivities, things that you're doing that you don't realize that your immune system doesn't like a specific food or a combination of foods, and it's something that you consume a lot. Many, many times, dairy is a huge trigger for people that have asthma. They just, they don't even realize.
And I some of you listening to this will think, well, gosh, you know, I mean, how I would look at it is, if you just had to stop eating dairy and you could get rid of asthma, like, what a wonderful thing. It sometimes gets frustrating from our point of view, because there's so many people that are like, well, I'm not going to give up dairy. Like, I can't eat cheese. And we just want to scream. Because
no, I want to look at him and say, well, don't complain about your asthma.
Right. You have asthma. Like, that could get rid of it. You know, when they come back and it shows that that's, you know, a high sensitivity food, it blows my mind the number of people, or the people who are like, don't, you know, are worried about getting tested because they're scared that's going to come back. And it's like, but you have the possibility to.
You have the power to change it.
Yeah. I will never understand. And I just,
right.
You know, and we've talked about this a lot, just, you know, between the two of us. The reason that we do this show is for the people who want to listen to this and say, I didn't know that. Now I'm going to do something.
Right.
You know,
I didn't know I could control this.
Right. I mean, we're forever going to be frustrated by the people that are like, I'm not willing to do that.
Right.
You know,
and to those of you who are not willing to do it, happy sickness.
No,
I'm okay with
totally
that.
Fine. Yeah. I mean, we all have our own choices. I mean, and, you know, yeah, everybody should be able to do what they want to do. We just want to make sure that everyone has the information.
Right.
Because I think that there are so many people out there, and we're, you know, we get frustrated when, like we said, people come in and say, yeah, but I have asthma and there's nothing that can be done.
Right.
And that's really frustrating. You know, I was told the same thing with so many of the illnesses that I've had. And that's why we do, you know, why we have this. It's why we have the clinic. It's because, you know, I've been through it and I know how that feels. And I know that a lot of you will think you're constantly harping on diet and food sensitivities, but it makes such a big difference. Parasites are another one that we didn't mention. So
right.
They can also affect asthma. And so if you do suffer from asthma, that's another thing that you may want to get checked out.
Right.
But it all goes back to gut function.
No, it goes back to gut function. And, you know, that's one of the things. Lots of things contribute to poor gut health. And once you know this information, you have the power. That knowledge is power. I just got an email yesterday from a patient that, you know, took time out of their weekend to say, hey, you know, this is what I've noticed. I found this. Your information. This is what you told me in my visit, and this is what I've implemented, and this stuff works. And now I've started reading all these books on these topics that you recommended, and knowledge is power. That's literally the statement that she put in her email at the very end, and then just went on to spend the next paragraph or two thanking us for helping her with the stuff that she had going on, because she just didn't know that there were options. She didn't know that she had the power to change this herself.
Well, and I want to say too, I mean, we get a lot of comments like that through Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, and through emails, people saying, you know, hey, I saw, you know, they've either listened to a radio show or a podcast, or they've read our articles or whatever it may be, that when they aren't even specifically patients, but have learned through listening to us that there's more that they can do. And it makes a huge difference. And so those of you who are sending us things, and I know we always respond to those, but it does really hit home that we're actually making an impact.
Yeah. So final thoughts on asthma. Remember, asthma is when your airways get narrow. There are things that are common symptoms: coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath. There are risk factors for asthma, bad diet and impaired immune function are big ones, and things that you can control, being obese or overweight, something else that you can control and have a very big impact on in reducing your asthma symptoms. And, you know, those are the big pieces of this puzzle. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you want more information, please visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can email us, call us, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our phone number, if you want to call us, 314-293-8123. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Wellness 101 has been brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your destination for functional medicine in St. Louis. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.